12 of our folk there. They've already seen a number of people come to the Lord, and they're handing out John and Romans that you put together here in our church, and we shipped over there assisting Brother Badgett, our missionary in South Africa, having tent crusades at night, children's services. God's doing some great things. You pray for them. Also got a text from Jackie DuBose. Her mother came home from the hospital, and they're watching by way of live stream. Continue to pray for her recovery. Philippians chapter number 2. Trust you'll find your place there. If an earthly dignitary walked into the room this morning, we would all rise. But may I say, if Jesus Christ were to walk into this room this morning, we would all bow. Matter of fact, the French philosopher Joseph Renan, who was far from a believer, said this about the Lord Jesus. He said, "Let the greatest surprises of the future come, but never has there arisen, nor never shall there arise, another like Jesus Christ. He is incomparable. He is unequaled and unsurpassed. He's the matchless one, the mightiest among the mighty, the holiest among the holy, the greatest among the great, the loftiest among the lofty. But yet He's so much infinitely more than that." We live in a day when people want to bring Christ down. They want to make Him like us. The reality is, over the next several weeks, we're going to lift Him up. God's not in the process of allowing us to make Jesus like us. He wants to make you and me like Him. He's the standard. He's the one. And friend, listen, when we have a right view of Jesus Christ, it'll revolutionize how we live as Christians. There won't be a debate about where He is in our life, how church is in our life, the service of God in our life, where sin is in our life. When we're in a right alignment with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's amazing how everything in our lives begin to fall into their proper perspective. I want you to notice, if you would, in Philippians chapter 4, or chapter 2 and verse number 9, the Bible said, "Wherefore God also," a very familiar portion of Scripture, "wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow." Bow the knee. "Of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." I want you, if you would please, to underline four words in your text in verse number 11. If we would understand this truth, it would revolutionize how we live as Christians. Jesus Christ is Lord. It's an unequivocal statement. Our God doesn't stutter. He doesn't stammer. He unequivocally, powerfully states that Jesus Christ is Lord. It sets before us the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Over the next several weeks, we're going to slip the shoes from off our feet, so to speak, and explore this marvelous truth about our Savior. I want to draw your attention to a small word, but yet a powerful word. I want to draw your attention in those four words to the little word "is." Do you see that? That is a verb of being. It denotes a state of existence. May I make the statement today that we don't make Jesus Lord, He is Lord. That's what we need to understand. I don't make Him Lord. It's not only a statement of existence or being, who He is, but it's also, as I said earlier, it's a verb that has to do with the fact of a state of being. And what I mean by that is that Jesus Christ is not going to be Lord. He has been and always will be Lord. May I set before us this morning that the Lordship of Jesus Christ is not just a truth that we believe. It needs to be a fact that we experience in our everyday lives. Now, I'm not advocating a heretical teaching called Lordship Salvation. I'm not advocating that at all. that one has to make Jesus Lord of their life in order to be saved. Salvation is and always has been by grace through faith in the person of Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, His resurrection for our sins. It is not a work of man. It is the gift of God. We receive it by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is a personal trust in Jesus Christ that saves the soul from sin and from hell and from ruin. I hear this cliche, if Jesus is not Lord of all, He is not Lord at all. Be careful before you say amen. That's not a true statement. Jesus should be Lord of all. He should be Lord in every area of my life. But the sad fact is, there's areas of my life and areas of your life that we've not yet surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He's Lord. The question is, are you bowing the knee to Him as you ought to as a Christian? You see, the very fact that there are areas of my life and areas of your life that are unsurrendered doesn't change the fact that He's Lord. It doesn't change that. In a practical sense, the Lordship of Jesus Christ is a recognition of who He is and the claim that He has on my life as a child of God. Notice, if you would, in verse number 10, the Bible said that in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Now, I'm going to talk about that more in a moment, but I want you to hone in on the word bow. That's the idea of giving allegiance to. Do you know that everybody is bowing to something or someone? Everybody's bowing to something. I mean, there are lords many that people bow to in our society, in our day. The sad fact is that there are things that we bow to, that we give our allegiance to as Christians, rather than the Lord Jesus Christ at times. Isn't it true? For the child of God, that someone should be and ought to be the one who saved us and gave His life for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you that this matter of the Lordship of Jesus Christ is not so much a matter of salvation as it is sanctification. Now, salvation in the sense that I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm saved by grace. But yet sanctification is growth in grace. That's the matter of realizing that I need to bring my life under the control of the one who died for me, the one who saved me. See, just as there needs to be a decision in one's life to receive Christ, and there is a decision that you make, whether you receive Him or you reject Him, one leads to life, the other one leads to damnation. To receive Christ is to be saved and go to heaven. To reject Him is to spend eternity separated from God in the lake of fire forever. That decision must be made. I can't make it for you. You can't make it for me. It is an individual decision that every person must make for themselves, what they do with Jesus Christ. But then there's another decision that comes to the life of the Christian, and that's whether or not I'm going to bow before Him. Whether I'm going to submit to His claims on my life, it's a matter of surrender. You see, the reality is, if you're listening this morning, is there is a battle going on in your life and in my life for control. Who's going to be in charge? Whether I'm going to bow before Jesus Christ or something or someone else. Whether He's in control or whether I'm in control. Whether I'm going to follow Him or go my own way. Whether it's His way or my way. That's a battle in every Christian's life. As a matter of fact, I can sum up the Christian life in the fact that it is a matter of recognizing the Lordship of Jesus Christ in my life and bringing myself more and more under His control. We can say it in all kinds of ways, yielding to the Holy Spirit, giving my life to Him, surrendering my life to Him. But all of that comes down to the fact of who's going to be Lord in my life. Is it going to be me or Him? Who's going to call the shots, me or Him? Who's in charge, me or Him? I just want to tell you, the Lord's not, He's no one's co-pilot. He's the pilot. Amen? Can I tell you that instead of trying to conform him into my image or make him like me, God's working to make us like him. I want to talk to you this morning about the sovereignty of Jesus. The sovereignty of Jesus. As I recognize who he is, it moves me to bow and bring my life further under his control. Friend, there needs to be a fresh new recognition of who our God really is, who our Savior really is. I want you to notice, first of all, if you would please, a powerful designation. Look again at verse number 9. Notice the Bible says, wherefore. Notice that word here, wherefore. It's a connector. It links us to what's been said previously before. In these verses, we're going to come full circle. You see, you're going to find the passage will begin in glory and it will end in glory. Can I tell you, Jesus is designated as Lord, first of all, because of His humiliation. His humiliation. Look if you would please, in verse number 6. It helps us to understand something of who He is. And it tells me something of His eternal being. Notice the Bible said, who being in the form of God. You know that word being that you see in verse number 6 occurs 59 times in the New Testament. And in every instance, it has a reference to existence or prior existence or to exist beforehand. Do you realize that every man, woman, boy, and girl has a beginning? But Jesus Christ had no beginning. He didn't come into being. He has always been and He always will be. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Friend, I'm glad He's existed from all eternity. And friend, He's existed from all eternity as God. Notice, if you would please, not only His eternal being, but His essential nature. Look at verse 6 again. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. I want to draw your attention to the words, the form of God. Now, that doesn't mean that Jesus was simply like God. No, He is the very nature and substance of God because He is God. That word form has to do with one's nature. Nature. As a matter of fact, you're going to find only Jesus could say, He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Only Jesus could say, I and my Father are one. Because all that God the Father is, God the Son is, He is the eternal Son of the eternal Father. And friend, Jesus Christ was and is and ever will be the eternal God of heaven. Notice, not only do I see His in His humiliation, because we're beginning in glory, His eternal being. He's always existed. His essential nature, He's always existed as God. And watch this, His equality with God. Look, if you would please, in verse number 6, the Bible said, He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That word equal means to be on par with, the same as, or in equality with. If you were to follow the teaching of the Jehovah's Witnesses that believe that Jesus is an emanation from God, that there's the Father who's God, and then that somehow or another through generation Jesus Christ came into being, and but he is a God but not the God. Friend, to worship Jesus Christ, if He's not the God of heaven, is nothing more than idolatry. They might as well close up shop, because what everything that they stand for is a lie. Because they're idolaters. Unless Jesus Christ is who He says He is, the very God of eternity. May I remind us today of who our God is, who our Savior is, the one that we worship. How can we not but bow the knee before the one who's existed from all eternity, who's existed as God? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Jesus Christ is God. We have to recognize that. That flies in the face of the pluralism of our day that wants to elevate every religion and makes the God of the Muslims and the God of the gods of the Hindus and the gods of the Buddhists equal with our God. And friend, listen, only Jesus could say, I'm He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Friend, every one of those has a tomb that has a body in it, but thank God there's a tomb in Jerusalem that's empty today. Amen. Might take us a while. I want you to notice, not only do I see something, and let me just remind us today, we worship a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Somebody says, well, you believe in three gods. No, we believe in one. Well, they say 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. Well, their math is right, but their doctrine's wrong. 1 × 1 × 1 = 1. The Bible teaches us that God eternally exists as three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit, co-equal, co-eternal, co-existent. Thus, they are equally the same. All that one person of the Godhead is the other person of the Godhead is. Listen to John 5:18. I hear this all the time. Well, Jesus never claimed to be God. Well, that's not what the Jews thought in John's day. Listen to what John said in John 5:18. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only hath broken the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. In those Jews' minds, they understood the claims of Jesus Christ. I am God. But notice in his humiliation that began in glory, the eternal God of heaven becomes a man. The eternal Son becomes an earthly servant. He that was in the form of God takes upon him the form of a servant. Look if you would, verse 7. But made of himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. If we could understand what our God has done for us, that he who has existed in eternity past is God, took upon himself not just the form of a man, but the form of a slave. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation. That word thought means to count or consider. It denotes a personal decision based on facts. It lets us know that in eternity past there was something on his mind. And you say, preacher, what was it? It was us. I was on his mind. You were on his mind. That word robbery in verse 6 means to treasure, grasp, or held on to. What it means is Jesus did not consider his place, his equality with God, something to be held on to at all costs. No, friend. He made himself of no reputation. That means he emptied himself, not of his godhood, but of his glory. The outward expression of his godhood, of his deity. He emptied himself of his glory. He veiled it in human flesh. And he took upon himself the form. He who was the form of God took upon himself the form of man. He was made in the likeness of men. Can you imagine that? Can I tell you, when Jesus took upon himself the form of man, he at no time ceased to be God. He did not give up his deity to assume humanity. He wasn't half God, half man. He wasn't some demigod. He was fully God and fully man. He's the God-man. There's none other like him. That word likeness in verse 7 suggests similarity, but yet difference. He was like us. He had a human nature, a human body, but yet he's so unlike us. He's a man, but he was a sinless man. He came, the Bible said, in the likeness of sinful flesh. Because, friend, think about this. Think of the step. He who is the joy of angels. He who had who sat at the center of the universe took a step out of heaven, veiled his glory, and became a man. That's who our Lord is. Which brings us to his crucifixion. Why did he do that? Look at verse 8. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Ain't it amazing that God humbled himself, but yet we can't seem to humble ourselves? Boy, we could just sort of park right there for a while, couldn't we? He humbled himself. There's a whole series of messages one day I'm going to preach on what Jesus took. It's amazing. Go through the Bible and find what Jesus took. Notice the Bible said he found in fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus' death, folks, was not an accident. It was an accomplishment. There was no more shameful and painful death a man could die than the death of the cross. Somebody said, a man dies 1,000 deaths before death brings relief to the sufferer. Such a cruel and gruesome death was reserved only for the races of criminals. Yet we read, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. Can I tell you, Jesus despised the shame and bore your sin and my sin in His own body on the tree. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He took my place and your place. Watch it, friend. The God of eternity stepped out of glory into time, took upon Himself a human body, bore my sin, my guilt, my wickedness, and paid for it in full on the cross of Calvary. That's what your God did for you. He did that for every man, woman, boy, and girl that ever lived. Which leads, here's the circle, humiliation, crucifixion, exaltation. Aren't you glad He didn't stay dead as we said earlier? Rose again. Look, verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him. That means He's raised Him to the highest position. Do you know there's none higher than Jesus? There's none greater than Jesus. How often I'm guilty of putting things in front of Jesus. What about you? And giving Him a name which is above every name. Do you know, as I study my Bible, I found that there are 256 names given to the Lord Jesus in the New Testament. And no one or one name aptly describes or defines Him. In the Bible. Can I just give them to you? Anointed One, Author, Alpha, Amen, Ancient of Days, Beginning, Begotten, Beloved, Branch, Bread, Bridegroom, Bright and Morning Star. He's the Captain, the Counselor, Christ, Chosen of God, Chief Cornerstone. He's the Daysman, Deliverer, Dayspring, Daystar, Door, and the Desire of All Nations. He's the Elect, the Ensign, the Everlasting Father, Emmanuel. He's the Finisher, the Forerunner, Friend, Faithful Witness, Fountain of Life. He's God, Governor, Guide, and Glorious Lord. He's Help, Hope, Husband, Horn of Salvation, Head of the Church, Heir of all things, High Priest, and the Holy One of God. He's the I Am. Just, Judge, King of Kings, King of Israel, King of Glory, King of Saints, Life, Light, Love, Lily of the Valley, Lion, Lamb, Lawgiver, Living Stone, Messenger, Messiah, Mediator, Master, Mighty God. He's called the Nazarene, Offspring of David, Omega, Only Begotten of God. He's the Offering and Offerer. He's Priest, Passover, Potentate, Prophet, Propitiation, Prince of Peace, and the Great Physician. He's called Rabbi, Rest, Root of David, Refiner, Refuge, Resurrection, Rose of Sharon, Ruler, Redeemer, and thank God He's the Rock of Ages. He's the Stone, the Shepherd, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Shield, the Servant, the Seed of Woman. He's the Surety. He's the Sufferer. He's the Sacrifice. He's Savior. And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's Teacher, Truth. He's Tabernacle. And He's the Treasure. He's the Witness, the Word, the Way, the Wisdom of God. And He's Wonderful. We go on and on. But I think of all the names given to Him, none are more precious, sweet, or majestic as the precious name of Jesus. And He's Lord. Could you let that settle in your heart? Notice the Bible said that at the name of Jesus, of all the names, as we said before, none are more personal and sweeter and sublime than the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. I'm glad that I bowed voluntarily. There will be those who will be bowed. They'll bow involuntarily, but every knee is going to bow because He's God. Notice the Bible said of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. Could I say that not only is there a powerful designation, He's Lord, there is a personal declaration. Everybody, everything in heaven, earth, and hell will bow the knee to Jesus Christ. They will. That word bow, of course, means to bow in adoration, worship. But for the sinner, it's a bow in realization. One day, every atheist, agnostic, infidel, liberal, modernist, God-hater, Christ-rejector, Bible-denier will bow their knee and they'll proclaim that the one that they hate is Lord. They'll do that. Every person on earth will one day bow, heaven, earth, and hell, and they'll bow and they'll say, Jesus Christ is Lord. They're going to recognize and they're going to affirm what God says of His Son, either voluntarily or involuntarily. You see, what I'm saying is everybody's going to bow the knee. The person who says and flat their fist face to the fist of God today, God, I'll not have you rule over me. That's fine. That's your prerogative. But one day your knee's going to bow. It will. But the sad fact is that once you confess, you'll be forever cast alive into the lake of fire. Sinners are going to bow in recognition of who He is. Every person. The good news is that we can receive Him as Savior today and bow in adoration and worship. Amen? We can do that. Thank God. I thought about this fact of bowing and proclaiming, and it reminded me of an incident in the life of a great missionary by the name of E.P. Scott. He was a pioneer missionary to India. One day he found himself, because there's many types of tribal peoples and indigenous peoples in India, he found himself surrounded by a murderous band of tribesmen, and on impulse he took his violin and began to play and sing "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." He reached the stanza, "Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball to Him all majesty ascribe and crown Him Lord of all." To his surprise, every spear was lowered and every man of the tribesmen was moved to tears. Can I say that this world is moving to the point that one day that every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball and all majesty is going to ascribe that He is Lord of all. Amen. It's going to happen. Christian, He's Lord today. He's Lord. Nothing changes that fact. Now let me ask you a question. Have you bowed the knee to the Savior? And have you owned His Lordship in your life? You're allowing Him control. You're saying, Lord, I want to be what You want me to be. I want to do what You want me to do. I want to go the way You want me to go. You see, that's the battle of every Christian's life. He's Lord. He's Lord. It's a fact. But are you bowing to that Lordship? Are you letting Jesus Christ have His way in your life as a Christian? Or are you resisting Him for your own way today? What I want. What pleases me. Could I just encourage us this morning that every Christian in this room ought to bow once again and fresh and new in adoration for what He's done for us. How can we but bow before Him? How can we but do that? And allow Him to be Lord in my life. To surrender to Him in reverence and honor and adoration and praise to the God of heaven. To bow in acclamation and surrender. He's worthy. He's worthy. To quit saying, God, I'm going to have it my way. Lord, I'm going to let You have it Your way. I'm going to submit to You. I'm going to give You control. Maybe there's areas of your life that are unsurrendered. Maybe there's sin in your life that needs to be dealt with. That's not bowing. That means I'm resisting. See, we make excuse for it. Well, I'm just an angry. I anger runs through my family. I just battle my temper. Well, that may be true. Maybe who you are, but that doesn't mean as a saved person, that's who you have to remain. Amen. I can begin to confess that to Him. I can begin to surrender that attitude to Him, that sin to Him. Do you understand where I'm coming from? Letting Him have control. That means He determines the direction of my life. He determines what I live for, what I do with my life. That means I'm taking my hands off and I'm saying, Lord, You put Your hands on because You're Lord. I'm not Lord. That means I dethrone myself. That's the next message. Dethroning self and enthroning the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know He can be resident in your heart and not be on the throne of your heart? He can live in you. But that doesn't mean He's in control of you. Could I encourage you today again, afresh and new, to slip forward in your life and bow in recognition of who He is today and let Him have control? To say, Lord, I'm Yours. You bought me. You paid for me. I'm ready to do it Your way. I can just promise you, let me ask you a question. How's your way working out? Probably not real good if you don't know the truth. Never does for me. Works a whole lot better when I just bow the knee to Him. And I say, Lord, You take over. You take over. You know, there won't be a question about church attendance, won't be a question about giving, won't be a question about serving, won't be a question about how I live my life. You know why? Because He's in control. He's in control. Christian, I just want to ask you today, are you bowing the knee? Are you bowing the knee? I just want to bow it afresh in you. Don't you? Say, Lord, You're Lord. You're Lord in my life, and I want You to be Lord of every area of my life. And Lord, I want to bring myself. This is a prayer I pray. I don't always live it, but I do pray it. Lord, help me to bring myself more and more under Your Lordship. Do you know when I do that, I'm yielding to the Holy Spirit? I am, same thing. I'm giving Him control. Because that's what being filled with the Spirit is. It's letting the Lord be in control of my life and the Spirit directing my life. You see what I'm saying? Young man, let me ask you a question. Is He a Lord in your life? Are you letting Him, are you bowing to Him? Young lady, are you bowing to Him? Adult Christian, are you bowing to Him? Are you letting Him have His way? Or are we in resistance? You know what we're doing? We're fighting God for control. It's better just to throw up the flag of surrender and say, Lord, You're in control. That's just so much better. I'm encouraged you to do that today. I'm inviting you to do that today. Nobody's going to coerce you. Nobody's going to force you. God ain't going to do that. But He is going to say, listen, I died for you. I saved you. I bought you. I own you. And I just want you to give yourself voluntarily and willingly out of a heart of love to me every day. Not just one day. Every day. Every day. Living in light of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And I've got good news for every person here. Think about this, friend. If you're not sure you're saved today and go to heaven, could I tell you that the Son of God, the Lord of heaven and earth, the sovereign Lord of the universe, stepped out of heaven, came to this earth and died for your sins and my sins. It was us who nailed Him to that tree. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And He says, I'll save you if you'll believe on me. You'll receive me. What a powerful truth. Can I encourage you to receive the One who gave Himself for you today? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed all over the room. Christian.